Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Southpaws episode 381, Dankmas Eve. Y'all be good, boys and girls, and set out cookies and milk for Snoop Dogg and Willie Nelson tonight. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf, man.
I'm Shiva.
And we have not done anything too fun before this. It is not 420, it is 419 as we record this, though I will try to get this out in time. It has been yet another week here in the magical land of North Texas. We are all still here, alive and full of Whataburger.
Yes.
I had Sonic.
They're doing the delightful mess of the Buffalo Ranch chicken strip sandwich, and it is such a mess, but it's so good, and I am so full. How are you guys?
I'm all right.
I'm pretty good. Yeah, it's been a week.
Oh, I had a big eventful thing on Sunday.
Oh?
I filed my taxes.
Yay!
Which, when you're a business owner, is, you know.
It takes a while, yeah, and I really put it off to the last minute, and I realized I'd been really stressed out and depressed a lot lately, and then as soon as I filed my taxes, it was like this huge fucking weight lifted off of me, so it was, because it's like a big project, and it's important, and I mean, it affects stuff, so you want to be illegal, you know, when you're running a business. And like I tweeted this, like the only thing that pisses me off is, you know, I don't have a problem paying my fair share and everything, but like I'm a publisher, so like a big force in publishing and book selling is Amazon, and Amazon gets away with so much shit as far as like not paying hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes.
I don't even know how they get away with that.
Because cities want them there because Amazon convinces them it's a good idea and they'll bring jobs and infrastructure and stuff like that. But these cities are like bending over backwards, like, oh, you can operate for free for X number of years. And I'm sure the 20 finalist cities, of which we are one, you know, are probably trying to outdo each other. And I'm like, I'd really just like to see cities not rushing to suck Amazon's dick, you know?
Well, but this is also federal taxes, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they pay their, does that mean that they the IRS at all?
I don't know how there's corporate loopholes and shit, and I don't know how it all works, but there's been many articles written about how they're not paying what they should be for the billions of dollars in revenues that they generate.
There's several large companies out there that are infamous for it.
Yeah,
and like, they just get away with it.
The government gives massive subsidies to oil companies, and oil companies make billions of dollars in profit, and it's fucking ridiculous. But anyway, that's my little tax rant, I guess.
I do my part. They should pay their fucking taxes too.
Thankfully, my taxes are very simple to do. It's just like basically contractor income and whatnot.
Yeah.
It was actually, so I had a significantly less personal income this year than last year, and my taxes went up slightly. Yeah.
How's that middle class tax cut working out for you?
My take home income was like $3,000 less than it was last year, and my taxes went up 3%.
Because you make less money, pay more taxes?
Fuck the poor.
Oh shit.
And that's, you're filing singly, right? You're not doing a joint.
I mean, it's just one of those mild annoyances. Like, I make basically fucking nothing, and I still managed to pay more taxes this year than last year.
See, I do the exact opposite. I pay zero. And then I get a honking huge tax return because I don't mind that because I suddenly have a really fun check in, you know, February every year. And I know I'm going to pay the same taxes whether they take it out ahead of time or not.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just like a savings account that I, you know, chunk in, and then come, you know, January, I get my money back. So I really like that big chump.
I may have mentioned this before, but like I've updated my W-4 so that they're taking like an extra $150 a paycheck out of my taxes. So that'll, over the course of the year, add up to quite a bit of extra taxes paid on my day job paycheck. Mm-hmm. So when it comes time to file taxes, that'll be significantly less of the self-employment tax that I have to pay. Because that's really what gets you with the business ownership thing, is that you're paying your portion of your income tax and your company's portion of your income tax.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas day job, your company pays a portion and you pay a portion. That gets you a little bit there, but it is what it is. I have a company and I'm happy with how the company's doing. So
it works out.
I'm going to be able to pay my taxes and my royalties and pay off the print charges on the credit card and not have to like have a loan or go into debt or anything like that. So,
I mean, that you means know, you're nicely solvent.
Yeah. we're solvent. We're soluble. We dissolve in water.
Oh, no.
And acid.
which I suppose we do dissolve in water because all of our products are paper.
That is true.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what you count if you dunk like an iPod in water.
Oh, please don't do that. It's bad for them.
That wouldn't be good. Although the iPhone 7 and up is water resistant, so.
Yeah, likewise the Apple Watch. Nice. Supposedly you can swim in it.
That makes sense, because yeah, if you're out jogging and it starts raining or something like that, you don't want your expensive wrist worn electronic to fritz out on you.
Yeah, and it's been pretty good for me. So, you know, I've always said that gamifying exercise works for me. Like back when I had my Jawbone up, where I had various other fitness trackers, having this Apple Watch has been quite good for me. I'm mm-hmm. up to 40 days on burning my goal calories in a row and, you know, getting my exercise in. And today I got the 200% achievement for burning 1,400 calories on exercise and not just 700. So I'm actually seeing some success with it. It's pretty nice.
That's good.
It's a very expensive fitness tracker, and it's rather useless otherwise, but it's still nice. Because, like, I get notifications on my phone when I'm, like, looking at my phone, but then they also show up on my wrist. It's like, hey, you got a new message from Telegram. You look at it, and then it shows up a little bit later on your wrist. It's like, come on. There's still, you know, they're still refining it, but it is a nice little device. It's just a $400 little device or something mm-hmm. like that. It's not cheap. So speaking of fancy-ass electronic devices,
yes.
Panther is probably going to smack me when I get home. So Swift on Security was talking about today the Lenovo Explorer mixed reality headset. Normally like $600, had been marked down to $400, and was on sale at the Microsoft Store for $2.
Oh, wow.
It's
wow.
a head-mounted display with two Microsoft-branded hand controllers, mm-hmm. so you can do VR. It doesn't have room scale, so it doesn't have the room scale tracking like Vive does, but the Vive is also $600.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I went in the store and picked one up. It is sitting in the back of my car right now, so I won't be able to.
I was wondering what that was, because you like tweeted a picture of the bag and it said Microsoft on it.
Yeah.
I thought you'd bought yourself like a Surface tablet or something.
Oh, no. We don't. This is an Apple household. We don't allow that.
Bitch, you have a PC. Yeah, so we're
probably, I know.
You know, divorce him and put him out on the curb in a box.
Yeah. Finnick, free to a good home or a bad home. I don't care. PC using scum. So I'm looking forward to trying that out.
Drop you off at Operation Kindness.
Oh, no. And I'm not microchipped. They'll have to chip me. That's going to suck.
That's okay. You'll just be ahead of the trend because, you know, in 20 years, we'll all have chips.
Yep. And I'll declare our allegiance to Lord Bezos or Lord Tesla.
Wait, you do have a chip. They'll just take the one out of your FWA wristband and jam it into your neck.
Oh, no. So I'm looking forward to trying that out today. Well, I won't try it. I'll probably try it out tonight, but I think I'm probably going to have to go buy an HDMI cable that's long enough
mm-hmm.
to plug into it while plugged into my computer. Because it's like, you can play things like Minecraft and VR and whatnot. Like, and that's probably pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But like Elite Dangerous and VR and Super Hot VR and Space Pirate Trainer VR. There's a bunch, and there's also a VR sale going on Steam right now, which...
How convenient.
How convenient. But hell, if I can just use it to watch Netflix on the fucking moon, that'd be cool too.
Nice.
Yeah, it doesn't have integrated headphones, so you still have to have a plug-in for that, but I do, and I have a nice headset. This is also one of those that has the front cameras, so that you can switch to front camera mode. It's like black and white. You can still see, so like... You switch the camera mode so you can see where your hands are on, like, the keyboard or whatever. Or, oh no, someone has walked into the room. I can see you. That's pretty cool.
You're not like, who is it? Who's there?
Oh god. Or freaking out because Adam decides now is the time to come up and paw on my leg while I'm playing a VR game with spiders or something in it.
Oh man, that would give you a real VR experience.
Yep. Oh no, I... VR will make you shit your pants. Yep.
Unidentified creature has entered the room.
Now, I will say, living with pets, it takes a lot of spookiness out of... I don't know. It's late at night, you hear a noise. Oh god, what's that? I heard a thing. And now it's you hear a noise, it's like, fucking cats. What are they knock over now? Or in the dark, something brushes your leg, and oh, that's a tail. Hi, cat. Or like, dog knows something wet and cold touches your calf or your thigh. It's like, hi, Bo.
I figured that was just Sarah nuzzling you in his sleep. Cold nose! Ah.
Of course, there's also walking to the bathroom in the dark, and the dog has decided to sprawl out in the middle of the floor instead of on its bed. And so you have to do the shuffle where so your toes make sure that there's no dog in the way. Because otherwise, you're going ass over tea kettle. And potentially killing the dog on your way down.
That would be bad.
Yeah, just shuffle, shuffle, shuffle. Oh, there's Fuzzy. And kind of detect your way around the sprawled dog and find the limbs and, you know, carefully work your way around the fuzzy thing that's unwisely sleeping in the dark in the middle of the floor.
I guess lucky for Saverin, Adam fits easily in the overhead storage compartment, so...
And laps, and... Yeah. Whenever he's very easy to move when needed, but thankfully he sleeps on the bed.
Yeah.
I don't have to worry about tripping over him too badly.
So I want to mention something before I forget. Yesterday, I found out that there's a third furry con here in Texas. And by the time this episode drops, it will be too late for y'all to attend it because it's this weekend. But it's called Rose City for Sanity. It doesn't take place in Rose City, of which there is apparently one somewhere in Texas. It takes place in Tyler, Texas.
So why do they call it Rose City?
I think maybe it's an area in Tyler or something like that. But yeah, Rose City for Sanity. You can find it on Twitter at RC for Sanity. And it's going to be fairly small because the first year con. And what's interesting about it is it's being held in a Regal Cinema.
What and days are this?
Huh?
What day is this?
It's this weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, are all of you going down?
Saverin, Ajax, and I are going to road trip
okay.
over there. But just for the day, because it's only like a 90-minute drive. So we're going to drive out there, see what's up. There's not going to be a great deal of programming on their schedule, because they've got like four rooms on the second floor of the movie theater. But they got the space for free, which is why they're doing it at the theater. And you also have access to the theater itself and the snack bar and everything. So the theater was probably like, we got these rooms no one's using. You know, if you want to bring people in and we'll sell snack bar food to them, sure, whatever. So the movie Isle of Dogs is also playing at this movie theater. So we're thinking, you know, if there's not a lot going on at the con, you can see a movie while we're there. And make it a furry movie.
I take it Tieran did not mention Saturday to you then.
No.
Saturday. Next week is Siam's birthday.
Uh-huh.
And had asked Tieran if he wanted to come over. Because Siam basically wanted to get a bunch of people together, play some board games. So I had mentioned it to Tieran. So as far as I know, he was coming over here on Saturday and told him that you're welcome to come along.
Oh.
So I guess likewise, if you guys get back early, you guys can just come over and hang out.
Okay. yeah, I know we're not doing the whole weekend. We're just doing it as a day trip thing.
Go out there in the morning, tool around, see some floats, be like, sup kids? we're famous podcasters and con people. We're watching you.
No, it's not, it's really. Also Ajax's birthday on Sunday.
Oh,
so okay. He wanted to do something Saturday night.
Take your pet dog to get some treats.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good boy. I'll pay for his movie. But like they have a vendor room. They have three vendors. So yeah, it's going to be a small thing. But you know, it'll be interesting to see if it works out okay and if maybe they can grow and become a thing next year. Like, and since I just found out about it, I'm not one of the vendors. And Tyrion saw the look in my eyes, apparently. And he's like, no, you're not going to this tiny con and dumping like a boatload of stock and being like, what up, bitches? I'm here to sell. I would not do that. Also, I'm, like I said, I'm going for one day. I'm not going for the whole weekend.
So it's just good to support little conventions like that. And it's cool that we have that opportunity.
Yeah. And part of me was sort of like, you know, 90 minutes there, 90 minutes back. This fucking one-day road trip.
It's yeah. not a bad trip out to
That's
Tyler.
That's a lot closer yeah. than going to, like, Austin.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and I figure I don't know if I've ever actually been to Tyler proper.
Like, we always drive past it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, yeah, we'll go out there, we'll check out, we'll, you know, we'll see a little bit of our state that maybe we haven't seen before.
Watch and see all the blue bonnets on the drive out.
Yep. Yeah, just kind of chat and hang out and talk to a couple of dealers that are there. And I'll probably, you know, scatter some business cards around because, mm-hmm. I mean, gotta pimp my shit, right?
Invite people over, play board games with Siam. And then at some point, depending on how many bodies are here at the time, we'll place an order to Jasmine's, run out, grab the food, bring it back. And so that, ooh. Well, me and Sarah or both of us will make a run out there. Grab the food, well, so that Siam and whoever else is here can keep playing, and then just bring back and feed people. So I would kind of be just enabling them to keep going, like fetch drinks, all this other stuff. Plus, technically right now, I'm on backup on call for the week, which mm-hmm. means at any point my phone could start shrieking, and I gotta go take care of it. But I'm number two on the call list. Next week, I'm primary all week long, which means at any time, I might have to drop whatever I'm doing and go fix something in our production servers, because that's what I do. Joy. But so,
yeah.
But because his birthday is next week, and he has to work next Saturday, and I'm on call all week, basically it's like, well, let's do it the Saturday before your birthday when you have all day off.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So the thing is, at our place right now, Fur Planet has been incredibly busy lately because, I mean, like I said, we're doing the taxes. I'm doing a lot of accounting stuff on the back end. And we're catching up on orders, pre-orders for new stuff and all the post-FWA and everything like that. Because that always slows us down a little bit when, like, oh, hey, all the stock is in a different town. And we had two cons in 2 weeks. Plus, Tyrion's day job has been really insane lately.
Yeah, so I can imagine why.
He's been working a lot. He's been working on the weekend. So he probably forgot.
I'll remind him then in a couple minutes.
Yeah, that's why I mentioned it. I'm like, he's been so hella busy. I would definitely poke him again and see if he wants to come over and do that.
Is he heading in? I mean, he's got to be on the downhill side of that.
I don't know. I don't know how his development cycle works, like, because he's still busy. Mm-hmm. He should maybe take a few hours and relax. So that might be good for him. But yeah, just go ahead and follow up with him, I guess. But yeah, we've both been super busy lately. My day job has been busy all week. For Planet's been busy. Busy, busy, busy.
So I told you guys, and I might have mentioned it on air, so we're car shopping. You know, you and I have notoriously had Twin Matrixes.
Yes.
Same year. We've owned them almost the exact same length of time. We both love our Matrixes. Well, mine's a manual and yours is an automatic.
Right.
And mine has been having a series of clutch issues through the years. And we've replaced it I don't know how many times, and it's starting to go out again. And so I've got some other minor hiccups.
Yeah.
It's time to replace it. So I've been buying Toyotas for a long time. I tend to like them. They tend to be reliable. But I started looking at what's available now, and none of it really did what I wanted to do. Either it's smaller than the Matrix, mm-hmm. or it's something, it's way, way, way bigger. So we looked at a bunch of different cars, and similar to the Matrix and capacity, style, you know, all this other happy hoo-ha. So last weekend, me and Siam and Sarah went out and did the incredibly frustrating process of trying to go to car dealerships and test drive a car without being bogged down by a given dealer for too long, because we had like three cars to get through that day. And, you know, you go in and they're bound and determined to hold you there until they drain all your financials and they can try to talk you into it.
Yeah.
When it's like, dude, no, I need to sit and drive the car. And then I've got others that I have to sit and drive, because they're by all different brands and all this other stuff. Get in there, go through all the happy horse shit before they'll let you sit in the car and like actually drive it, slog through all that, fight with all that. First thing that we drove was a Honda CRV. Siam and I had already fallen in love with it the week before, but Sarah wasn't with us. So we actually did it again and got Sarah to drive the car, and he fell in love with it just as much as we did. Mm. But we had other cars to look at. We tried a sports wagon, just like Panthers, because we like Panthers way back in the day. But they changed it. I don't like... From what I remember of riding in Panthers, this one was not quite as nice. And I think they reduced the storage capacity of it. We sat in, like, it wasn't quite right, so they got us in another SUV. And it was better, but the inside just didn't feel as nice as the CRV. We tried a Mazda, same size, same kind of class. And you sit in the CRV as an adult, like an actual adult, and it's comfortable. Like sitting in the back with the seat, front seat all the way back, I still have like 4 inches of knee room to work with. And I'm, for height wise, I'm 5'6". So I'm not a super big dude where I have to worry about that. But even Siam sitting in the back was comfy. We sat in the Mazda. The Mazda is so small in the back seat, they had to add scoops, kind of divots in the back of the front and driver's side seat in order to give you knee room.
Oh, wow.
It's like, oh my God. I mean, without these scoops, I mean, there would be no room for any adult to conceivably sit in the back with the seats in any kind of position other than pulled almost all the way up. And this was like a lot more expensive car. And I'm looking at this, it's like, holy crap, guys. This is ridiculous. I mean, the seats were nice and, you know, but so squished. And because there's three of us plus a very large dog, we road trip, we need something adults can actually sit in the back of. Never mind, we tend to pile in other adult friends. We all go places. You know, so after stopping through a couple and getting some feedback on other people, we finally narrowed it down to the CRV. And now we're just watching for sales and waiting patiently like spiders in a web, waiting for like some kind of like special thing to come up. It's like, okay. But I hate car dealerships. I hate car dealerships so goddamn much. It's so hard to just say, hey, let me drive some cars. No, they drag it out and...
You just got to be forceful with them.
Yeah.
I'm here to look at this car that I saw on your website.
So I will say... So that we went to a different Honda dealership when Sarah test drove, because we didn't want to go back to the original one, because quite frankly, we didn't want to seem too eager, because, well, it puts us in a poorer position. And I have to say, the experience that we had at the first Honda dealership was nice. We kind of walked up, dude was hanging around outside, said, okay, we want to look at X and Y vehicle. And we'd already been kind of like walking around the outside of the two that was parked right in front of the entryway, and nixed instantly one of them. Walked in, got us a sales dude. He said, okay, well, let me go get some keys and we'll go drive a car. Very in and out, very happy with their service. And it's just like done. And then the second Honda dealership was the same bullshit experience that we've had at every other car dealership. So if both dealerships give me like about the same price, even if the first place is slightly higher, I'll go to them because their experience is exactly what I need. I walked in, they gave me a line-by-line breakdown of the car cost, and we were out of there. It was really, really nice. But the three on last Saturday was like, just stab me. I hate this. You guys are wasting my time. I got shit to do. I need to, there's no point in, like, any of us spending this amount of time on us. Because if I put my butt in that car and I don't like it, why waste time on me? Go spend time with another buyer who, like, actually likes the car. I mean, we pretty much instantly killed it. And when we went to the Volkswagen dealership, their inventory is so fucked up because they're off 75, which is a heavily built-up area. So they've eaten things like old garages and parking lots around them, and they've got inventory stashed everywhere. None of it is organized. So even though they had other models we were considering buying, the dealer like was doing laps of the parking lot trying to find these damn cars. Finally, we said, look, we got to go. We can't wait for you to find one of these that we can look at. It was a horrible experience. Yeah, I wouldn't go back, and I probably would go to a different Volkswagen dealership even if I had liked the car, because they were just messed up. I can't think of anything I hate worse than car shopping besides, I don't know. No, car shopping's pretty much the worst thing.
Yeah. That's why Ajax just ordered one from Carvana. But I guess he already had a real good idea of what he wanted. And it was pretty painless experience. I might do that if I have to get a larger vehicle for the company.
Order one from Carvana?
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen them. There's one up off 120. Look, one, it looks like a giant glass tower full of cars.
Well, it's an internet site, yeah. So you order it all online.
You buy the car?
You buy the car. They literally delivered his car on a flatbed truck to him.
How do you, like, test drive or anything? Or do you just not you have a
week?
You want?
Basically, they're like, yeah, if you don't like it, you can return it within a week.
Yeah. Like I said, he already knew exactly what he wanted. It was just, it was between one or two different models, and then it was just going on there and seeing, is this one available? How old is it? What's the mileage? Is the price good? And then financing it. And he can even finance through them, I think.
Or is it like a used cars as well, or?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I think he got one that was like just a couple model years ago. Something like that. And like, even Toyotas just a couple years out, like, really drop in value, but like, they're still in really good shape and everything. So, oh, and the Carvana website stuff will like, you know, give you all the details on if there's a scratch here, or, you know, it'll give you like the 360 view and a shitload of pictures and all that stuff.
Oh, so here's something that will piss you off. So a coworker of mine is taking a auto dealer that he bought a car from to court.
Oh.
Because it was like an Infiniti a couple years ago. It was used, but it wasn't that used. He still dropped $26,000 on it. And he's had it for 5-7 years, and he went to trade it in. Well, come to find out that the car he bought for $26,000 was a totaled car. It has a branded title, which means that, yeah, no one will give him the normal trade-in price. This was not declared when he got it. He went over all of his paperwork, and he wouldn't have spent $26,000 on basically a totaled car.
Oh, wow.
And more than that, when he bought his car, he paid for an extended warranty on it through the dealership. And so as soon as he went to basically kind of talk to the extended warranty, see if he could get a claim on it, they looked it up and then they canceled it on him.
Oh, that's bullshit.
Yeah. So he contacted the dealer, said, hey, give me the trade-in value of this car because basically I can't get anything for it. No one will take it off me or give me any kind of reasonable price. Dealer didn't respond to him. So he's taking it to court because... Yeah,
that's fucked up.
I mean, you buy a $26,000 car, drive it relatively small amounts of time.
Yeah.
Because it used to be his wife's car and she barely drove it, so it's got fairly low mileage for the year. And then find out that somebody sold you a car that had been marked off as totaled and you can't do anything really with it to get anything like the value you should.
Yeah, that's really fucked up.
So shady.
Yeah, so he's taking him to claims court and he gave him a pretty hefty chunk of money, a lot more than they would have settled out for if he'd just been up front.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that is to pay his lawyer, and you know, the lawyer's going to take a chunk, and he's hoping that the dealership will just settle and you know, so he can actually, like, get the proper resale value of the car he should have gotten. But selling at a... This isn't a small dealership. This is, like, an actual, like, name brand, not side-of-the-road dealership that did this to him. Mm. And I'm like, holy shit, that's not cool at all. Yeah, he's got to take a day off of work tomorrow to go to court for these yahoos.
Oh, jeez.
So, speaking of court, okay, take a... Change the subject real quick.
Okay, you didn't get jury duty again, did you?
No, thankfully no.
Haven did, but he wasn't selected.
Yeah, I saw him tweeting about that, but this is unrelated to Haven or jury duty, but it is related to court. So, YouTuber faces prison for filling Oreos with toothpaste and feeding them to homeless man.
I saw that. Yeah, you told me about that.
So,
what? On like the April Fools?
No, he was doing it for YouTube, doing it for the clicks. A YouTuber is facing 2 years in prison for filming himself giving Oreo cookies filled with toothpaste to a homeless man and then joking that they would clean him. Kangua Rin, who broadcasts under the name Reset, has more than 1 million subscribers on the video sharing platform. The Barcelona-based internet personality filmed himself filling the cookies with toothpaste and placing them back in their original packaging. He then captured the moment and engaged in a brief conversation with a 52-year-old man before feeding him the cookies. After he hands them over, along with a 20-euro bill, George L. eats them and Mr. Kanga says, "Maybe I've gone a bit far, but look at the positive side. This will help him clean his teeth. I think he hasn't cleaned them since he became poor." Oh. So this is a YouTuber who's one of those prank assholes who filmed himself doing all this stuff. So the big kicker... Toothpaste is toxic when ingested. Like, you're not supposed to eat toothpaste for a reason. Like, the little pea-sized amount that you use on your toothpaste, toothbrush, is not going to be that bad. But if you are...
Yeah, and you also spit most of that out.
In this case, he put them in Oreo cookies, and the guy ate them. So, this guy is now facing 2 years in jail and a 30,000 euro restitution to the homeless guy.
Oh, my God.
He didn't help himself either because, like, he earned over 2,000 euro from YouTube for the ad rev. Like, this motherfucker is poisoning the homeless and getting ad rev while this motherfucker right here can't get pennies for his unboxing videos. He is now facing a charge of crime against moral integrity. 2 years in prison for being a dumbass. And I'm like, you know what? That's actually totally fine. You know, Logan Paul, when he did his shit in the Suicide Forest, like, he was doing dumb things in Japan, but basically he left the country before he could get caught up by the Japanese authorities.
Yeah.
So, you know, he probably can't ever go back to Japan, but this guy filmed himself doing it and still lived in the area. Then he tried to give the guy a few hundred bucks, like 10% cut of his ad rev that he'd gotten, to keep quiet about it. Like, god damn.
Well, I'm glad the other guy got 30K.
Well, they're looking to do that, but it's just like...
Yeah, this dude will never be able to pay that.
You know, just the casual cruelty for the fun of it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's in the same vein as the child pranks, if you remember the... Mommy of Five or whatever, where it was like, where he would do, quote, pranks to their kids.
Yeah, that was awful.
Yeah, it's like there's this whole shub genre of being an awful person to people and then making money on YouTube with it. It's bizarre.
Yeah.
But I saw that and I'm like, finally, some good news this week, right?
Yeah.
It's like a YouTuber finally getting his comeuppance.
So, on the thing of fucking messed up shit. So, I was on a particular... I'm on a couple of groups on Facebook, and one of the groups came up with, like, regrettable authors. It was basically a discussion of, authors whose semi-famous work, you know, but you just can't because of either reoccurring themes. It was problematic authors, and a whole bunch of people came up. From Stephen King, where for a long time, like, hurting kids, there was, some of the kids in some of the mid-90s books or so were heavily sexualized. And, of course, Orson Scott Card came up with
his LBE. I knew that was going to come up.
Yeah, and a bunch of others. But there's one that came up that I didn't know about. Have you heard about Marion Zimmer Bradley?
I'm not familiar with her.
She's a fairly famous author. And apparently her husband was... either bi or gay, and Marion Zimmer Bradley herself was a lesbian. There's a lot to the story. But both of them sexually abused kids, and especially Marion with her own daughter.
Jesus.
He was, like, part of the whole boy love bullshit. He's the one that wrote something like Greek Life or something underneath a pseudonym. He got caught, put away in jail for many years. But she was just as... She had her own really sick problems. She passed in 99, so she's been gone quite a few years. But I've read some of her books, and I had no idea... You know, so someone mentioned it. It's like, well, what's up with Marion Zimmer Bradley? So I Googled her and I read some of the articles. Like, oh my God, just off the wall shit. It's like, this is an author I liked. And come to find out that she's a fucking monster. And her husband was worse. Mm-hmm.
That sucks.
Like, she wrote Mists of Avalon and the Darkover series. And it's just like... Holy crap. This is serious shit. And I'm really, unfortunately, just because of some of the stuff that was going on, it really soured her daughter towards LGBT folks, which is, you know, how gays for a long time were painted with a brush of their pedophiles on top of everything else. Well, she drank that lemonade because, well, that was part of what, you know, hey, try it. You'll like it. Let me show you, because I'm mom. And they abused her from, like, she was, like, 5 to 12. And unfortunately, she then became kind of anti-LGBT because, you know, that was a brush that she saw it painted with. I'm sorry to see someone go like that, but I can definitely see, after, you know, all that she got force-fed as a child, coming to that conclusion of, yes, it's true. It was a train wreck to read. And this is, they did it to their own daughter. I mean, that's not uncommon. But then he went on and abused many other little boys. So it's awful. It's really awful. But yeah, Orson Scott Card, there are a couple of other people that got brought up for some of the reoccurring themes of their books. And I have to say, there's some themes that really bug me and really drag on me after a while. But when you start getting into like Marion Zimmer and Orson Scott Card... where they're real life actions, that's when I have a hard time really supporting an author, you know, especially things like Card. Well, both of them really, they're both abhorrent. And people are like, but it's just entertainment. You should divorce, you know, you should take the story for what it is and ignore the source. And it's like, I can't, I can't. I mean, I fucking loved Ender's Game. And I started looking into, oh God, this guy's great. What else has he written? So I Googled him, and then I found out promptly that he's was on the National Organization for Marriage or something like that. It was like now or something like that. But he was also part of, what was it, out in California, Prop 11, was it?
Prop 8.
Prop 8?
Mm-hmm.
The one that tried to...
make marriage illegal again in California.
Yeah. And it's like, wow, I just, even for free, because those books were paid for at some point or another... And two, I just can't bring myself to invest in someone who actively works against me.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of reoccurring talks of Card came up so many times because there were a lot of LGBT folks in that group. But yeah, that was my shock of the day because I read Mists of Avalon and I liked it. I think I was in my mid-teens when I read it, late high school. And I liked it a lot. And then just discovering that this is a horrible person. It kind of feels like a lot like betrayal, I guess you'd say. So that's my not cool fact of the day.
This fact is not fun. I do not wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shitty facts?
Yeah, this is bad news of the day. There's so much of it already. Stop it. Bad, Shiva. Bad.
That was just my jaw drop. Holy fuck.
Is there anything positive we could talk about? Right, quick.
Pause?
Just as a... a palate cleanser before more bad news.
A Honda CRV is awesome. Yay!
I saw some gay donkeys.
Yeah, the gay donkeys. That's
gay cool. Donkeys, yeah. Was funny.
So
did I mention that on the show or was that before?
That
the
was
show?
Over dinner.
Oh, yeah. I had this very Texas moment last night. our gym is way the fuck up in McKinney. It's relatively near to where Panther Works, and it's a bit of a drive for me, but it's out there. You going out there is an investment of time to get your ass to work out, get your workout worth and then drive home.
Yeah.
It's taking out a chunk of your day to go exercise. And it's been, again, very successful for me. And it's up in McKinney in this area called Craig Ranch that saw its development halted during the 08 crash. Like, they laid down the roads and laid out the grid, but the houses never came because everything got fucked. But the gym got built out there in, like, one of the planned, like, 4 or 5 apartment buildings. So there's fucking fields out there with cows and longhorns and all this other stuff. So, you know, I posted a photo of there's just some cows chilling by the fence as these guys are building up bougie-ass apartment complexes across the street from them. But on the way home, the sun was setting, I was worn out from a good weightlifting exercise set, and I looked to the right. There's this horse rescue along the route home, and they have a lot of land, and I saw these two donkeys in a field, both of the male, one trying to mount the other, perfectly silhouetted by the evening sun. It was beautiful. Nature is grand. It was very Texas. And people are like, why didn't you take a photo? It's like, because I'm driving 55 down the service road of 121, and I couldn't. If I could pull over and do so, I would, but there is not a place along there. So yeah, gay donkeys. Well, how do you know they're both male? It's very easy to tell about with equines.
Dangly bits.
Yes. So there's something positive and fun to change the mood about shitty authors.
Gay donkeys
against the sun, silhouetted
against the sunset. I feel like somebody needs to draw that. Probably somebody has.
So in other bad news, Califer may or may not happen this year.
Oh,
are
yeah.
Are they still wishy-washing on if they can find a venue?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Like 5 days ago, they were like, stay tuned to Twitter. As soon as we have more information, we will post it. We are speaking with Hotel still to get contracts set for this year. We'll inform everyone on what happens.
They're running out of time.
And then 3 days ago, they replied to someone who said, we will happen. If this venue we are working on contracts with doesn't work out, we will happen next year. So they said that in a direct reply to somebody. So probably people haven't seen it, like a lot of people.
Man.
Yeah, that's not looking good. They got really fucked over last year and had to pay that extra money for the security. And I think that kind of boned them.
Congrats, swatting assholes.
Yeah. So that's the furry bad news.
I hope that even if they don't run this year, I hope that they can hold it together and, you know, do it again next year. I hope that they can. It's so rare that soap cons can take a furlough. And yeah. Then come back. But I hope that they can do it, because Califer's been going on a long time.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of the oldest cons. Oh, and another fucking thing I saw was people from the, I think it was the London Furs Meet. Basically, they have this cool regular meetup in like a pub or something.
Mm-hmm.
And like, they had a like fursuit changing area that was kind of like in the back room kind of area. And somebody stole a tablet that belonged to the bar.
Whoops.
Oh.
That someone had put back there. Now the London Furs group did reimburse them for the tablet because they're like, hey, this is really not cool, so we're going to take care of it for you. But they're like, look, you know, bring the tablet back. You could do it anonymously if you want. But basically, the bar has been like, okay, there's no more fursuit changing room now. So this is like a lot of these furry / fursuit dance nights where people show up to like a big dance party kind of thing. They have them in various places around the country. And yeah, most of the time they need to have a place to change so that you don't, like, show up, like, having to walk through the streets in your suit and maybe get it dirty and stuff like that, because not all suits are designed for indoor-outdoor use.
Well, sometimes you have to peel out of it and cool off.
Right, yeah, and that's a major thing. And, like, so this is going to
hurt.
This is going to affect them, yeah. All because of shitty actions of one fucking person, yeah. So it's like, this is the kind of thing where we're like, yeah, we gotta make sure people know that shitty behavior is not accepted in this community.
And they know the tablet was back there before.
Yeah.
Like, they
They know it was them, basically.
Fucking asshole.
It was apparently pretty open and shut as far as that goes. So hopefully they can work something out there. I just looked it up. Califer has been going since 04. So hopefully they can figure something out. But
was it Califer or somebody, another California con that had to take another year break once because of having to reorg or something? Was it Califer? I don't know. I thought one of them started and stopped. I don't know if they've since stopped again, but that was a long time ago, I thought.
Califer has been going consistently since 2004.
All right, so that's not the one I was thought of.
Oh, so here's another thing. I narrowly was like, what the fuck, the other day. I was looking at my credit card statements because I was going through all my transactions and classifying them, you know, business use and stuff like that for my taxes. And I came across a charge from Rainforest last May. And I was like,
what the fuck?
RF slash year was 2015. There's, what the hell is this? And then I remembered that the board of Rainforest, Rain with two N's, is also the board of Furlandia Portland. And I went to Furlandia last year, but I saw $45 to Rainforest. I was like, what the hell?
You attended the ghost convention.
Yeah. So, and I guess that's just how their merchant account is set up, that that's still the name that shows up. But I should probably give them a heads up and be like, guys, you should probably change that to something else, either the name of the board or just change it to, say, Furlandia.
Yeah.
Because I was momentarily flustered, like, what the hell?
So I got another piece of amusing news that's kind of good. White supremacist leader arrested for falsely telling feds he trained Parkland terrorist Nicholas Cruz.
I saw that article, yeah.
So Nicholas Cruz, the evil dipshit that shot up the school in Florida.
Yeah.
The 4chan idiots and hate board things thought it'd be funny that, oh, we should get somebody to claim that they trained him, that he was part of their terrorist cell or whatever.
Yeah, so that their group could take credit for
it. Yeah, and raise the profile. It started out as a gag on alt-right and racist websites, the idea that someone should claim credit for Nicholas Cruz after he was charged with killing 17 people at a high school in Parkland, Florida. Republic of Florida leader Jordan Jarib took the joke into the real world, telling news outlets that he trained Cruz and describing him as a member of his small group. Police were not amused. Jarib, a 23-year-old. This kid's 23. This dipshit is 12 years younger than me. Leading a little terrorist cell because he was on 4chan too long.
He looks older than that.
Yeah. Well, he's got a fucking chin beard. But anyways, dude was arrested from his mom's house because he lives with his fucking mom.
He lives in his mother's garage.
Like, there's nothing wrong with living with your parents. But if you're trying to make yourself out to be some member of the master race, have your shit together. Just saying. He's being charged with knowingly making a false report to law enforcement. And when they went to his house, he had a shitload of knives and bullshit, which he's already on probation for, where he's forbidden from owning weapons at all. Right. So this guy thought he was going to troll the feds and troll the media. And, oh, they'll just report anything. Oh no, I'm going to implicate myself in a terrorist action. Oh no, my probation.
Yeah.
God, what a dipshit. I like it when they make it easy, but this guy, what the hell? I just don't get it.
It just really goes to show that these guys are all a couple eggs short of a dozen, you know?
Yeah, and like, look at this dude. He's such a goony beard man.
Yeah.
Like, it just baffles my mind that anybody would, I mean, obviously, would
follow someone like this.
Yeah, follow somebody like that. And like, yeah, this guy is surely, truly an example of the, quote, master race.
Uh-huh.
God. I mean, I love it. And this is another one of those yay dipshit gets their comeuppance. It's just like the YouTuber a little earlier, same kind of thing. This literally is like, your brain is poisoned from the internet. This is internet brain poisoning.
I mean, you think you're that anonymous that you can get away with this bullshit without, you know...
But this guy, he didn't even make himself anonymous.
He literally went to the news media in Florida saying, yeah, he trained with us. He was part of my militia, lol. And then the feds bust down his door a little bit later. Except they bust down his mom's door because he lives with his mom.
Of course he does.
I mean, again, I like it when dipshits get their comeuppance like that, but still, it's just astounding that someone would go and do that.
I wonder if she could still bring him Hot Pockets in prison.
Yeah. Mom! Oh, I'm out of Hot Pockets. She has to, she'll have to, like, send him money to the commissary and hope they have Hot Pockets. But the thing is, they can't have microwaves in their cells, so they just have to keep them room temperature.
They don't have pizza bagels here.
Ugh, cruel and unusual punishment. Though, actually, so on a semi-serious note, we have had this discussion about prison and shit, right?
Oh my god, yeah. So,
what now?
Well, the topic of prison and America's prison system, there's actually two related things we're going to bring up real quick. So there was an article on Dogpatch Press here a little bit ago.
Written by Sisk, who is a transgender woman who is currently in jail, and she's in the male wing. And she's in fucking Maricopa County, Arizona, where that Joe Arpaio sheriff is basically running, like, concentration camps. So, of course, she's in the male wing because they're not going to give any fucks. And I can't imagine how hard it would be to be a transgender furry in jail, you know. Just reading her account of it and also reading her story on the website that's kind of dedicated to trying to help her is, it's just fucking crushing, you know?
Yeah, so that's actually an article y'all should go check out if you have a particular fortitude. And also, if you want to get really, 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 really fucking angry, the podcast Season of the Bitch just put out, they did a two-part segment on the carceral state. If you want to learn about, like, the bullshit that goes on in our awful, god-awful prison system, yeah, feel free to check that out. I'll make sure to include links in the show notes because they're important to listen to, but super fucked up in the meantime.
Well, and going back to, like, weed legalization, like, even states where they've legalized weed, they're not in every state. I think in, like, one, they've actually done thing of, hey, this is no longer illegal. You went to fucking jail for it, but, hey, we're okay with it now. And they don't exactly retroactively say, hey, you know, you guys are pardoned. You know, go free. It's no longer legal, but you're locked up for it still. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's going to be a real bullshit thing. Because, like, there was a tweet that I saw about one dipshit congressman is going to be putting forth a bill for marijuana decriminalization on a federal level. I need to look at my Twitter feed and see who it was, because I saw people like, yeah, I'll give him a maybe 1 point for this if it actually goes anywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, you see all these white folks making money in the weed business while these black people have had their lives destroyed or still sitting in prison. You know, they're not going back and fixing this, well, except in, like, San Francisco, where they're fixing that shit. We talked about that.
Like, I think there was one state that actually went back. I can't remember what one or to what degree. Yeah. But someone made a comment. I was reading something about it. Someone asked, like, so those states where it's legalized, did they just let the people who were then guilty for it previously go?
No.
And the answer was, like, no. No, it didn't.
Yeah, like, if you get convicted for weed-related bullshit the day before it's decriminalized, you're still going to jail for 5 years. It's super fucked up. They need to fix that shit.
Mm-hmm. That needs to be part of the bills to legalize, like, right away.
Yeah.
Like, that has to be part of, like, hey, we've done our research. We're okay with it now. And then we should release all the people. It would take down the, well, one, it would take down the stress on their legal system. And two, but then all the private prisons that get money for it would have to let them all go.
Yeah, they're all lobbying. And
this is why we should illegal. Ban private prisons, but that's, you know, our capitalist hellscape will never allow that to happen.
Schools and prisons should not be fucking privatized. There's a lot of industries in this country that shouldn't be privatized. But so on that note, though, make sure y'all vote for Beto O'Rourke this November.
Hell yeah.
For anyone that doesn't know, Beto O'Rourke is a Democratic congressman in the El Paso district of Texas. He is running to challenge Ted Cruz.
The Zodiac Killer.
Zodiac Killer.
Man, Cruz is so creepy, like, perfect. Yeah. If that makes sense.
So Cruz is up for re-election this year in the Senate, the midterm elections, and O'Rourke is running against him. I was reading his platform on his website, and he is
He's pro queer rights. He's pro legalization. He's pro improving health care, single payer. Basically, he hits all the Democratic, liberal, leftist bases. So I'd really like, and there has not been, the article I read said that there hasn't been a Democrat win a Senate election in Texas since 1988. So it's been a while, and no Democrat has won a statewide election in general since 1993, and that was Governor Ann Richards.
And he's about as far from Cruz as you can get.
And what's funny is he's not in the polls. They're currently separated by 4 points. Cruz is at 47, and O'Rourke is at 43. So normally, this is actually a big deal. Normally in Texas, it would never be that fucking close to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so if all the liberal sides really mobilize in Texas this year, like maybe we can actually have a Democratic senator in this state and maybe actually start moving. Once people see it's possible to have a Democrat elected in Texas to a national office, that'll start to change things. You know, I really think Texas can become a state that's in play. It's not going to be, it's reliably blue overnight forever.
It might also move the markers of, yeah, hey, public opinion is swaying.
Yeah.
Maybe we should moderate some of our stances.
Yeah, because the Republican Party platform here is absolutely draconian.
Fuck the gays and the queers and the Mexicans, especially the gay queer Mexicans.
Yeah, and the Texas Democrats are like the opposite in every way.
And women are very much barefoot in the kitchen and, you know, fuck your rights.
Why don't you have five babies in you right now, Shiva?
Yeah, they're very much, you know, anti-abortion, but also anti-education, anti-prevention, you know, basically, you have to have the baby if you get pregnant, but we're not going to help you not get pregnant, you know.
So, Representative Tammy Duckworth, she's not senator, right? House of Representatives, I think, had a baby recently. And, like, apparently it was a big deal. Like, she brought her child to the chamber, and some of the old men were talking about how it wasn't like something about decorum or something like that. And it's like, oh, they're all fucking pro-life, pro-babies and stuff like that, but don't have one near me, you know. Mm-hmm. That wouldn't be proper. So it's just more fucking hypocrisy from the right wing. Register to vote, Texans, support Beto O'Rourke. The other person I'd like to see win their election is Lupe Valdez.
I like Lupe.
She is
lesbian.
She was our sheriff. She is a Hispanic lesbian. She broke three records when she became sheriff. She was the first woman, first openly homosexual, first Hispanic sheriff of Dallas County.
Oh, speaking of dumbasses getting their comeuppance. Apparently I think it was in North Carolina. I have to double check. Basically, two service women who are in full uniform.
I saw this one, yeah.
Blocked this old white biddy and her son.
Large adult son. And her which large adult. They actually made the point. And her large adult son, he wet and moist as well?
went and they blocked her from parking in a handicapped. So they follow her into these two gals into restaurant, proceed to assault them, and when informed that one of the service women is pregnant, still I'm talking physical assault, but also full screaming match.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman has an art restoration business, and they linked it in the article to her Facebook page.
Oh,
they
shit.
Go to her Facebook page, and it is nothing but the sea of how dare you, you know, combination of, yeah, mostly, you know, how dare you, you know, assault anyone's service. And apparently she was screaming, my husband is handicapped. Her husband was not with her. And she was still trying to park in a handicapped spot. And then got incensed that these two black service women dared to call them on their bullshit, chased them down, proceeded to, you know, and then this woman got arrested and hauled off to jail.
Yeah, because
she's also banned from the restaurant.
But yeah, this whole, I mean, you see this, like, she's 72, so she's not a spring chicken. Her adult son, I think, was, he looked like in his mid-40s or so. So not a kid. And just all this bullshit. So yeah, it was just seeing this old bat.
There's some old white people just think they can do anything they want and not have any consequences. And, you know, it's good to see that that shit's changing.
But it was like something like black lesbian bitch is what they called her.
Yeah, and like they were just there to have some dinner. And the reason that they might have parked in the handicap spot was one of them was pregnant. Like, they're both there, they're both in uniform, and it was some third party that did the filming behind them. So the two service members are just like, kind of like, yo, get your hands off me, while she's, old lady's slapping at him. And eventually the whole, like, restaurant just, like, fucking rose up and was going after the old lady.
Mm-hmm.
It was freaky to see, but also good that the restaurant was like, yo, old lady, you need to fucking stop.
Yeah.
Like, the thing is I don't even know if they parked. All I heard is that they blocked. I don't know if they scolded her or pulled in or what. They just said blocked. Yeah, but this woman came in and was just going off her tits and got her ass arrested.
Yep, got banned from Cheddar's for life.
Fuck people, man. Well, some people, but still.
I hate seeing people without handicap plates parking in handicap spots. It's one of my big pet peeves. I mean, with Cyan's chronic spine issues,
mm-hmm.
we could very easily have gotten our own plates ourselves several times over just because, you know, there are times he really can't walk all that well. But we haven't because, you know, there are people worse off than us. You know, people actually have, you know, not just occasional mobility issues, but it makes me livid because I've seen basically, you know, folks without plates taking up pretty much the best spots. And, you know, oh, that was one of the things, is one of the car dealerships I went to actually had the handicapped spots next to their doors full of cars, like for sale cars. I'm like, really? Not cool, guys.
God. Yeah, they'd probably get in trouble if you reported that.
Yeah, I was not.
Because that would violate the ADA.
That was, I'm trying to remember which dealership that was at, but I saw that. I was like, holy shit. Really, guys? That's like the only two handicapped spots in the lot, and you have fucking for sale cars sitting in them. You guys are assholes.
I mean, I know overstock is a problem sometimes, but goddamn, really?
You can't find two spots anywhere else in the lot to put those in? Really? So, I've got friends who have, you know, I don't think any of them are fully in wheelchairs, but they've got fibro, they've got other serious issues. And hearing from them about, you know, just how they've gotten blocked out of spots and they can't walk, at least not all that well. And then some asshole, there's at least, you know, a couple of the spots taken up by people without plates because, well, I mean, I'm special. That means I can park there, right?
So let's change direction a little bit. So season 2 of Legion is airing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've picked that up on iTunes. That's good. Still a mind fuck. And also season 3 of The Expanse is airing.
I need to.
I haven't started that yet.
Have you guys watched Lost in Space at all? I've heard it's good, but it's a turbulent.
I've watched 2 episodes of it. Zia really liked it. The critics really hate it. Saverin didn't really like it.
I didn't really like it for some specific reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a huge fan because it gives you no breathing room.
Mm.
It's constantly moving from crisis to crisis. There's no humor in it. You know, people say, oh, the original Lost in Space was this campy show, and the robot was this goofy-looking fucker, whereas now it's this super, super serious thing that not all the characters get actually characterized. Like, the two daughters barely get any characterization other than one's a doctor and one's kind of a goof-off.
that's consistent with the original show, but you would think with making it a more serious show now that they would want to work on their...
10 hours to work with this to give them a little bit of characterization.
Make them a little more three-dimensional.
Yeah, like...
All I know is the dad's an asshole.
The dad's an asshole.
I don't like the dad at all.
The people want to fuck the robot, and this obsess the person that runs the Netflix account.
What about...
That was amusing.
What about the Dr. Smith, or what was the name of the doctor in the original?
Yes, Dr. Smith.
He was a conniving asshole, kind of.
Character's played by a woman this time who clearly has some mental issues going on. And this isn't really a spoiler. It happens like in the second episode. She's not really Dr. Smith. She steals Dr. Smith's ID card, who is like laying dying on this spaceship that they're evacuating. And she just leaves him there to die and then passes herself off as Dr. Smith.
Oh, Dr. Smith was one of the best things about the original show. He was so smarmy and dislikable, but he was a great foil for the rest of the character because you never knew what he was going to try and get away with next. But that was like the original motif of the character.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people don't like the Lost in Space movie from the late 90s, but I actually quite enjoyed it. And I thought Gary Oldman did a really good job playing Dr. Smith.
Oh, that's right. He was. Yeah. I really liked him as Dr. Smith.
Yeah. I love the scene where, like, when he first wakes up from being knocked unconscious and everyone else is in cryo, he walks out onto the bridge and sees they're in space and he just goes, shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just Oldman delivers the line very well. So, but yeah, he was good in that.
Of course, there's not very few things Gary Oldman isn't awesome in.
Gary Oldman did a great interview years later about that movie because William Hurt plays the dad in that. And I mean, William Hurt's a good actor. He's been in like a ton of shit, right? But apparently he's one of these like deeply philosophical people and everything. And like Gary Oldman's talking about, oh, it was a real honor to finally work with him. But we had this long, interesting conversation on set one day and I walked away and I had no idea what he had said. Like it just went woof, way over his head. So that was amusing. And that was a fun movie that had some of the cheesiness and the lightheartedness, but also the danger and just in the sci-fi tech and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm withholding judgment on the TV show because I've only watched two episodes of it. All I know so far is that I don't like the dad.
Panther really wanted to watch it, so we ended up watching all 10 episodes. We wrapped it up last Sunday. And we both decided by the end that the Doctor sucks. Everyone is powerfully stupid in unique ways. And, like, the only person that isn't quite so powerfully stupid is Will Robinson, because he's only, like, 11. He is just a dumb child. And
he's a child.
And not a dumbass adult.
Right. The adults should all know better, basically.
Yeah, the adults should all know better. I found it kind of tiring because, again, it's crisis to crisis to crisis. It just felt really contrived at points.
I could see that being exhausting if you marathon it, like, because it's a Netflix show.
Yeah.
You know, like, there you kind of... Netflix expects you to marathon their shows, but if it's going to be set up like that, then that's
take some fucking breaks if you're going to watch it. My final hot take on it was like, hey, if you're going to watch Lost in Space, watch The Expanse, because The Expanse is fucking great.
Yeah,
and I think Panther and I are going to like let it build up a couple episodes so we can watch a couple episodes.
Yeah, I just want to sit down and just binge it.
Just the previews for this year of The Expanse, it looks like, oh, shit is going down so hard. They're going into the second book.
I fucking love the book, so.
Right, I bought the first one. I haven't, Leviathan, I haven't read it yet.
Leviathan Wakes?
Yes. Yeah. I have that. Like, it's on my shelf with all the other books I haven't been able to read yet. Speaking of which, like, I keep buying books, and lately I've not had any time to read them, like, I think I mentioned that last show, though. Like, Jeff Noonan and Kat Valenti both released new books that I snapped up right away. And yeah, I haven't had time to read those either. But oh, and so in For Planet News, we're starting to receive our book manuscripts for stuff that's coming out at Anthrocon. So within the last 2 days, I've gotten a completed manuscript for Claw Volume 1, which is our first lesbian erotica anthology. and this year's volume of Roar, which I'm really looking forward to see the stories in that, because the theme that we came up with for Roar 9 is resistance. So there was, I guess, a little concern that like maybe it wouldn't be very topical in a year, like, because we came up with this theme before Roar 8 came out. But yeah, shit's still horrible, and that theme is still on topic for today. So yay, question mark? But anyway, so yeah, I've got these two anthologies that I need to go through with proof and typeset and everything. And we've also got a, I haven't got the completed text for it yet, but we have a dystopia anthology coming out, and we're having Black Tegan do the cover art for it, which we work with Tegan a lot because she's really good. And I've seen her, what she calls a rough sketch is like, it ain't fucking rough. You know, she's like, here's a rough idea. And I'm just like, this is basically a completed picture, you know?
Rough to me is like, you got some wireframes, maybe a couple like doodled in expressions to get a feel, some roughed in, penciled in backgrounds.
Like thumbnail sketches.
Kinda. Yeah.
Yeah. No, her rough is like something I would pay another artist for as a completed sketch. And it looks really good. So I'm really excited to see what her finished product is on that. Every time she sends me a cover, I'm blown away by it.
I'm not subscribed to like two different email services where they basically go through Amazon and other places and look for series that are on sale.
BookBub.
BookBub's one. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember. BookBub's the one I could remember. I couldn't remember the other one. And basically, they'll send you an email a day with, oh, well, you picked out your genres, and it'll tell you what in those genres are on special. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're free. Sometimes they're 99 cents or $1.99.
Or at least like half the normal price or something like that.
I've
seen a lot that are dirt cheap. I looked at their guidelines, and it says to qualify, to have to be free or at least 50% off, and definitely lower than anywhere else.
So I'll skim through. I'll look for any of the freebies that are in my genre. Grab those, because why not? You will usually pick up like the 99 censors.
Yeah.
So I've got a backlog, and these are usually like up and coming authors, or they're not as well known as some of the others. Sometimes they have like the one that I stumbled over. I picked up the freebie or like 99 cent one ages back, and well, I finished my current series, need something else. Oh, well, I'll try this one. And I actually found a series that's really good.
Oh.
It's by Jeff Wheel, the King Fountain series. And it's actually, got a little bit of magic. It's a feudal time period and got a kind of interesting magic system, but it's really well written. It's, you start out, the main character you come across when he's 8 years old, and you spend the next, between each book, there's usually between, like, 5 to 10 years jump between,
mm-hmm.
Where time is continue on, and here's the next leg, and time, they've been developing, things have happened, but there's a really good sense of what happened between then and there. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really good. I'm on the fourth book in the series, and it's just like, they're page turners. I've just been going, I hit the end, I buy the next one, and I keep on going. He's really good. He really needs to get more notoriety.
Is this an author that you were familiar with before?
Or? Had no clue.
Wow, that's great. In fact,
a lot of what I buy off BookBub is authors I don't know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
But like the first one was like 99 cents, and the rest were like $4.99. So, I mean, usually what you see in these, in BookBub, is like the first episode, if it's a chain.
Yeah.
It's not like four or five down where, well, now what do I do?
Right. That makes sense for get you in on a series like that.
Well, I can't remember, like I said, what I bought this one for. It was fairly cheap because otherwise I wouldn't have picked it up. But he's now then got three regular book sales off me, and I'm going to keep reading through if it keeps being this good.
Right, yeah.
Because I'm starting to basically the next set, because we hit the three with that little boy who grew up, and now the second set, book four, is starting with his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it keeps going, then great. But I love BookBub. I wish I could remember the other email series that I
had to unsubscribe from
Bookbub because I was just not reading the emails, like, because I get so much email. And
they also send you like one a day.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I have like an email address I use just for signing up for bullshit like that. Mm-hmm. And periodically I'll realize I haven't gone and checked that in a while. And I'll go back like a week's worth, because that's usually about the lifespan of some of these sales, and not even.
Right.
Just see what still is interested and still active and pick up a couple.
I do remember seeing one. It was like one of Neil Gaiman's short story collections was like $1.99.
Yeah, like I would pick that up if I saw him come through.
Yeah.
But yeah, BookBub is wonderful if you want to explore and especially get cheap books. Like I said, a buck or free. There's several freebies that come through there.
Something else I need to catch up on is LeVar Burton's podcast. Do you guys know about this?
I think you've told us about it before.
Yeah, it's a very easy title to remember. It's LeVar Burton Reads. So if you just start looking up LeVar Burton on iTunes, it'll probably autofill for you. Basically, he says in his intro, the only thing these stories have in common is that I love them. So, you know, he gets permission from the author and they do an audiobook. And it's not just him reading, like they put, this is why it has seasons, because they put like a lot of post-production work into it. Hmm. There's some sound effects, there's background music that's going with the mood of the piece that he's reading at the time. So it's really good. I've got a bunch of those episodes I still need to listen to. The thing is, like, he's on tour with the podcast. And when this sounds super cool, like he'll go to a place and he'll do a reading live for an audience. And then afterwards, he'll have the author there. Mm. And he'll have basically an interview with the author and they'll do a Q&A. And I'm like, please come to Dallas because I really want to see this.
If you hear him coming, please tell me. I'll go with you.
I will absolutely tell you as soon as I find out. He's mostly been in the Pacific Northwest. Like, I think he just did one in Portland, Oregon, not long ago. But yeah, please come to Dallas, LeVar Burton. I will totally go and see your show.
Man, if
Weird Al's next tour is coming to Dallas.
He comes through about once a year. Yeah. I've gone and seen him twice. He's really good.
So apparently his new show is very different. This is like kind of an anniversary show for him of like...
Yeah, I'm trying to find the tweet I retweeted from him with the ridiculous... The Weird Al Yankovic, the ridiculously self-indulgent, ill-advised vanity tour.
Right. And apparently what it is this time, it's basically Weird Al and his band, and they're playing like all of his original songs. Like not the parodies and the big ones. Because, like, for long-term fans of Weird Al like myself, like, I've really enjoyed a lot of his original compositions. Like, they're really good. He's a really talented songwriter as well as a singer. And that would be really cool to see, like, a more stripped-down show from him where he's just doing his original stuff. Because, like, I've been to, I think, two of his shows, one's back in the 90s and one's like a couple years ago, where it's like the whole show, which is really something that you should see if you have a chance.
Because there's a costume change every song number.
Yeah, he puts on the fat suit and everything when he does fat. It's great stuff. But yeah, this new tour sounds very different. And like, I kind of like to see that just to like contrast it with my other experiences of seeing Weird Al live. And you're seeing Pink soon, aren't you?
Week after next, May 1st.
Cool.
She's playing at American Airlines.
Tyrion and I saw her there when Truth About Love came out. It was a Truth About Love concert.
You saw him in the fall cycle. I saw him. It was...
That's right. She came to Dallas twice that tour.
And yeah. It was the Friday of Fiesta, let me tell you. Trying to wrap up Fiesta and blast your ass downtown in time to get there for a concert is chaos. Because I had to shut up the den and then drive real quickly downtown.
It's kind of like when Lady Gaga played San Jose the night before FC. So, like, you know, we flew in, picked up our stock, set up the table and everything, and then went to the arena down there to see Lady Gaga. So,
that was fun.
Well,
there was a lot going on, but it was a fun time.
I wasn't even planning on it, and then I won those $20 for two pink tickets with platinum parking. It's like, fuck, I'll find a way to do this around Fiesta, because yeah, I loved her, and then I won incredibly good seats for $20.
Mm-hmm.
So, fuck yeah, I'm going to make this work.
Totally.
And it is phenomenal. I mean, you saw it. It's a phenomenal show.
Oh, yeah. She's amazing.
And a couple of the clips I've seen of her latest, you know, Beautiful Trauma, I think it's the name.
Does she have a new album out?
Yeah.
Okay. I should pick that up then.
Yeah, and it was, I've loved some of the songs on it, and just seeing some of the clips of the new show, it looks just as good.
You know what kind of annoyed me about Truth About Love is I bought the, like, deluxe version on iTunes, because, like, every retailer has, like, their own version of an album that has certain extra songs on there. And my favorite fucking song on the album is one of the iTunes exclusives, Time Bomb.
Oh.
Yeah.
I did not know that was an iTunes exclusive.
I really love that song. And I'm kind of like, man, this could be like a hit song. They should have put this out as a single or something, or it should be more widely available. But it's just kind of funny. One of the bonus songs is... turned out to be one of my favorites on the whole album.
Cool.
Yeah, Sarah's really gotten into, and I wouldn't call it indie, but definitely not Pink level of, like Modest Mouse came to Dallas and we went and saw him. He's gone, them actually. He's gone to a couple of...
You went to see that Clockwork something at show not long ago? I can't remember what it was called.
Oh, we went and we saw
Dropkick Murphys.
Not drop, was it?
The Flogging Molly.
Flogging Molly.
I saw it on your Facebook.
Yeah, so we went and saw Flogging Molly. We went and saw Modest Mouse. He's gone without me to see a couple of other shows, more indie level. He likes rap. And he's actually good, but not like, I don't know what the genre of rap that he likes, but it's not the more hardcore gangster rap.
Yeah.
There's got to be a term for that.
Maybe
particular.
It's more hip hop?
Maybe, yeah, closer.
See, I know, but rap as a genre has advanced so much that it's, like, a lot of genres have split off into different sub-genres.
Yeah, and so he's been picking up, like, $30 tickets to stuff he's heard. If you ever have the chance to ride in a car with Saro, and you give him control of the music, his playlist is incredibly eclectic. It's a mix of whatever that subgenre of rap. He's got Irish songs on there. He's got a whole bunch of various punky stuff.
I bought that other band because of him. He was driving me home from work one day. It was one of those days when something weird happened, or it was an early closing or something. Fuck, I can't remember. They do...
Was it Atmosphere?
No, they do Cry No More and Monkey Man or something.
Oh, you mean Little Lion Man.
Lion Man, yeah.
Oh, God, now I'm bad at names, but I know who you're talking about.
Right.
They actually got kind of popular on the radio for a
while. That's right, yeah.
Lots of banjos, lots of...
And they're basically like Irish redneck music?
Kind of?
Yeah, because they have a lot of like banging on tin cans and shit like that in the background.
Yeah, that's one of them.
But yeah, I learned about them from Saro.
He's eclectic. And so he's dragged me to a couple of different shows. He's got a couple more coming up.
Mumford & Sons.
That's what I just Googled it.
Mumford. Yeah, I'm looking it up also.
And I'm blanking on it, but I love their music. So it's like, I should know that.
I haven't listened to them in a couple of years. That's why I couldn't remember.
But almost nothing on Sarah's playlist is anything like pop, or if he's got like a... Modest Mouse has like one that's played on the radio, but the rest aren't. But 99% of his playlist is kind of indie stuff.
It's kind of like Jonathan Coulton. Like, he has this album, Jonathan Coulton's Greatest Hit and 11 Other Songs. Because he's mostly known for the Portal song, Staying Alive. But it's got his other stuff on there that's really great. You know?
Yeah. So I've learned a whole bunch of stuff I probably would never have listened to before. But he went to go see Gogol Bordello, which is this gypsy punk Ukrainian.
Wow.
That
sounds music. Interesting.
It is. But you learn a lot of different music riding in the car with Saro. If you give him
Sarah, honey, what the fuck am I listening to?
Yeah,
I've asked that a couple times.
So we're gonna just wrap it up now because we're pretty long to the episode. It's 10 o'clock,
and we're full of words as usual. And bitching.
Yeah, we do have some emails. We will get to them next week, next time we record. So now for the social media bullshits. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast.
You can fucking talk, really?
Yeah. It's late. I'm tired. My allergies are starting to kick in.
We're basically southpawscast on everything. Patreon, Twitter, Tumblr, southpawscast@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter @fuzzwolf or go to fuzzwolf.com to find links to all of my other stuff.
Find me on Twitter @SaffronDrake, where I make good tweets and retweet cute pictures. And find me on Twitch @Savrin, where I got a head-mounted display. I might do some VR streaming.
Oh, I didn't know you could stream that.
I'm going to try.
Okay, that sounds cool.
I wonder if that's... I've never watched anybody... If it's like dizzying from the head moving around or not. And I'm gonna throw up in my chair. I am on Twitter and on Telegram as Chimera, KHYMAERA, because Shiva is always claimed. I rarely, if ever, manage to get that name, so I've got that alternative.
Cool. Thanks for listening, guys. And as always, good night.
And big books.